Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Rich Wilson. Welcome to a special Wednesday night podcast. We're going to be talking prospects and prospects all the time. It's just me going solo, kind of make up for, quite frankly, 2 weeks of lousy shows. 2 weeks ago or a week from Sunday, we had our annual mock draft, which was good. I know a lot of really positive feedback, but also bad that it's just a really hard show to do, and I'm not. We gave out some content. I wish we'd given out more content. We're trying to reformat that show just because I know people like it. They want to know as they're going into the drafts who to draft, but it's just a mess of a show to do. So perhaps I think next year I'm not going to draft at all. I'm just going to be the host and talk to people, maybe cut down on the number of calls, and we'll try it again until we can find some format that works. And of course, last week we were going through our starting pitchers that Tim put together. It's now out on prospect361.com. Simply go over to the fantasy tab and you will see them all. 194 pitchers are there. Tim did an outstanding job putting that together, but we're in the middle of, I think, on number 31 in Blog Talk Radio, which is the tool that we use. It's a site that's one of the larger providers out there of online or real-time podcasts, just stopped working. Tim got thrown out. I got thrown out. Should have known as Tim was trying to get in. He was struggling getting into the show. So some technical difficulties. Blog Talk have been really good partners for us. We're going to give them a bogey on that, but decided to come on and just talk about prospects. Give Tim the night off. On Saturday evening, we're going to move the show to Saturday this week because I'm out of town next week. We will finish up our starting pitchers and give you a lot more content to listen to and to hopefully prepare for your drafts. So we're going to be talking top 100 prospects, and we're also going to be talking those of you who are in the middle or about ready to start your Dynasty League rookie drafts. Going to go through that article that I wrote and just highlight some of the players. And then I've gone through now five Dynasty League drafts and show you where some of those players are going, which I think is very, very interesting. Some players where I think they should go, and actually, you know, based on five Dynasty Leagues, and one of them has been going for 8 years, I believe, 7, 8, 9 years, and several of them going for 5 years. We have a first one. This is their first rookie draft. So a variety of leagues those leagues have been formed, and they all pretty much went very similarly. And again, you have to figure some of those people listen to our show. So maybe that influenced them a little bit, read our articles. Maybe that influenced them, but I think for the most part, it's a pretty good kind of bogey for where those players are going. So, if you're expecting to hear about fantasy for this year, we'll talk a little bit about that. Simply go back to the previous episode, episode 424, where we talk about starting pitchers, or wait and listen to the show that comes out on this Saturday evening, Sunday morning, and we'll be talking more starting pitchers. Hopefully you guys are doing your final preparations for your drafts. It's been a pretty easy spring training so far. Not too many injuries that I've heard of. Obviously, Brent Honeywell blowing out his elbow and already having Tommy John surgery is probably the biggest blow, at least in the world I live in, which is minor leaguers and when they're coming up. Just a real, real disappointment there. A ton of talent. Guy that actually, you know, started criticizing some of his teammates and didn't like what the Rays were doing, and people took offense to that, and I didn't. I thought it was great. You know, it was good for him to be speaking out, but it's just a real shame with that kind of talent and going down for Tommy John surgery, and I'm not sure when it's going to end. One thing that we know that's been eliminated with pitchers in amateur ranks, they've now put kind of strict controls around how many innings a pitcher can throw, and that was really unregulated. So now I forgot the organization that controls that, that have come out that all amateur pitching, you know, in any league that kind of prescribes or subscribes to this, in which most of the new, most high school, most, you know, elite kind of club teams and all the showcases all kind of adhere to these rules that you can only pitch X number of innings and throw X number of pitches within a certain time frame. So they're trying to at least eliminate the overuse of an arm at a young age, which, you know, Dr. Andrews and Yoakum, and they've all kind of come out and said that's a, they believe, a contributing factor. So it'll probably be the next generation, let's call it 10 years from now, 8 years from now. We'll see if that's actually had any impact or not to pitchers kind of going down with Tommy John surgery. I fear, and I know a lot of others fear and a lot of doctors fear, it could, the human elbow is not meant to throw 98 miles an hour and not meant to throw a slider at 92 miles an hour. And that might just be what it is, that you've only got X number of pitches before your elbow just gives out. And the good news is it seems like, for the most part, it's not 100%. And this is the thing you always have to think about in dynasty leagues in particular. It's not 100% these guys are going to come back. And there's been many, many cases of guys not coming back. One case is John Lamb. He was with the Kansas City Royals, and he was on the cover of Baseball America 6 years ago with Mike Montgomery and John Lamb and Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas, and there's somebody else on that cover as well. It was five of them. And clearly the Mike Montgomery kind of turned out to be an okay pitcher, more of a middle reliever, and Moustakas and Hosmer went on to be all-stars. But John Lamb might have had the most talent of all of those guys, definitely from a pitching standpoint, a lefty, threw hard, blew out his elbow, and I saw him 3 years or 2 years after his Tommy John surgery. I saw him out in Wilmington in high A, and I had seen him before throwing 92, 94. He was sitting 86 miles an hour and touching 87. And it had been a couple of years after Tommy John, and you just knew he was done. He had a cup of coffee and pitched a few games and I think got it up to 88, 89 miles an hour, but never recovered, lost 4 or 5 miles an hour off that fastball. So, you know, Tommy John surgery, while, you know, it's successful, the degrees of success are surely not guaranteed. But what is, if a guy is going to come back, he's usually going to have a good stretch of 5 to 7 years, maybe a little longer, before problems resurface. So, you know, you think of the Steven Strasburgs of the world, and, you know, you're thinking of dynasty leagues. It's been about 5 years since he had Tommy John surgery. Jacob deGrom had Tommy John surgery, and it's, I think he was 18, 19, 20 years old. I mean, he's starting to get on that outer edge. Will he blow out his elbow again? Don't know. So these are all things that we have to think about, but it seems to be not only early use of a pitcher, but just guys throwing hard. I remember Dylan Bundy. Dylan Bundy, in my opinion, has nearly perfect mechanics, and he blew out his elbow. You know, and it's like, so you throw away the inverted W and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, there was a lot of talk, and I prescribed or subscribed to a lot of that as well. And, you know, I'm not sure that's it, because you see people with perfect mechanics blowing out their elbows, and you see guys with bad deliveries blowing out their elbows. And you see guys like Chris Sale, one of the worst deliveries ever. Alex Wood blew out his elbow too, but Chris Sale, healthy. You know, so who knows? It'll be interesting to see if they ever figure this out. And I just hope they figure out a way that they can repair these elbows and guys come back within 2 or 3 months, as opposed to 15 to 16 months. So to me, that's been the only major injury this year. Substantial injury has been to Brent Honeywell. And I think he had a chance to be an impact rookie this year. I think vie for potential rookie of the year, but that's just not going to happen. So if we go back and take a look, and you can go out to Prospect 361. And by the way, I appreciate everybody visiting the site. We do have sponsors now, and I encourage you guys to visit our sponsors. And quite frankly, we get a little bit of a revenue stream if you click on the sponsors on the right, and they are StubHub. There's no discounts for StubHub, but if you need tickets for opening day, you need tickets for games during the week, you need a concert ticket, we'd really appreciate it if you just go to our site, click on that StubHub link, you'll see it. And if you use that and go on there and buy your tickets, quite frankly, we get a little bit of money. And we do all of this for free. We don't ask for money, but, you know, it's one way to support the show. We also have Steiner Sports. They also have a code that you can simply go to their site, Prospect 361. You get 15% off. That's for the entire year. They'll be a sponsor with us for the entire year. And then also MLB Shop. Just go again and click on that link and go and get your paraphernalia. I know a lot of people have already bought shirt. I'm buying actually flags for our beach house. So I'm actually in our beach house this week. I just got here today, so I'm here for the next 3 or 4 days. And it's being renovated. We bought it in December, and all the bathrooms are being done. And I kind of walked in, and Jerry, the contractor, was just covered in plaster and everything. He goes, there's no running water. I'm like, seriously? What do you mean? No. He goes, yeah, we had to cut a pipe, and the plumber won't be here till Friday. I'm like, fantastic. He goes, well, the good news is there is actually a porta potty right outside. So being my age, I will be venturing out, I'm assuming, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to visit the facilities. For those of you in my age bracket, you know what I mean. It's just the way it is. So that's that. But I'm enjoying, you know, being out here on the beach and doing this podcast. But I'm not sure where I was going with that. But we're buying flags, and we're going to go out and get an MLB flag, be ready for opening day, and be flying that. Given that I'm not a true fan of any team, just a true fan of the game of baseball, so I'll be flying the flag. So I know you can get all that stuff there as well. So go out to MLBShop.com. Again, link that from our site, and you help support the show and the site. Top 100 prospects, it's been out there now for about a month, and I appreciate everybody going out and visiting that. You know, I don't look at anything until I'm finished publishing, and then I go, you know, read, you know, the Keith Laws and the Baseball Americas and, you know, all of that, the prospectus and baseball prospectus, and just to see how they rank. And it's pretty remarkable. People had either Ronald Acuna number one or Shohei Ohtani number one. And a lot of people don't think Ohtani is a rookie. I think that's a little unfair. He is rookie eligible. So some of the prospect sites really do not rank him. Some of them had him number one. I think Baseball Pipeline had him. That's MLB Pipeline had him number one. I had him sitting down at five, and I had Ronald Acuna, Victor Robles, Vlad Guerrero Jr., and Gleyber Torres 1 through 4, but then Shohei Ohtani number five. And, you know, quite frankly, it got down to a lot of reasons. One is, Ohtani's a pitcher. I do not think, and I could be wrong, that he's going to be a positional player long term. I've said this for a long while. And I think, you know, his value lies in that arm. I think he has a special arm, but I think there's a chance that he blows out his elbow. We already know his elbow's been injured. And Japanese pitchers, particularly recently, have had a long history of blowing out their elbows. And again, not going back to the beginning monologue, it's something that you have to consider when you're taking guys in a dynasty league or thinking about rookie players coming up. And I just felt like Acuna, Robles, Vlad Jr., and Gleyber just have a chance to be perennial all-stars, particularly Ronald Acuna. And this is a guy that, I mean, Tim says he was in the Australia League 2 seasons ago, you know, over the winter. I didn't even know that. But Acuna kind of ran onto the scenes. I had drafted him in one dynasty league and had him going into last season. But I think it's safe to say he blew up last season. I mean, tearing through 4 leagues, winning the AFL Player of the Year. And, you know, if it weren't for service time, I think would be starting the year off in Atlanta. But you know, the Braves, and I think they learned this was Jason Hayward, even though Jason Hayward is not the player he was when he first came out. If you start him day one or don't get that extra year of control, that 6 year comes awfully, awfully early. So I think they will push him at least to the end of April before they bring him up. He's got significant power, great bat speed. I think you're looking at 30 home runs, even in a challenging Atlanta ballpark where, you know, home runs are at a premium, power's at a premium. And he's got a little bit of speed. He's got speed now. I think he slows down as most players do, but he's got a great eye for the strike zone, you know, controls the strike zone very well. I think he's a superstar in the waiting. And if you have him on your dynasty league, congratulations. If you spent a eighth round pick this year on him, I don't know. Yeah, I think he has a chance to be rookie of the year this year just because of his talent. But, you know, there's usually adjustments to, you know, to the major leagues. And yeah, you say, well, Aaron Judge didn't have much of adjustment. And Cody Bellinger sure didn't. Aaron Judge played a little bit the year before, got a taste before he blew up. Cody Bellinger pretty much came out of the chute swinging, so and hitting bombs. So not everybody does, but Mike Trout took 100 at-bats to get in his groove, and Alex Bregman took, you know, 50, 60 at-bats to get in his groove. So sometimes these guys, I mean, there is an adjustment. It's a huge difference between AA, AAA in the major leagues. And I know that sounds stupid, but it's not like going from high A to AA or AA to AAA. These are massive jumps going from the minor leagues to the major leagues. Victor Robles, you know, I if I had the balls, the courage, I would have put him number one overall. I think Victor Robles has a chance again to be a superstar. He's an 80 grade runner, which means he's going to steal a ton of bases for you. He's a great defender in center field, and I think he'll have power. And you know, I don't think it's out of the question. This guy is a 20-40 guy with a high batting average. I think he could be, again, a perennial all-star. I don't think he'll replace Bryce Harper. They're different types of players. He's not a 50 potential home run threat, but I think if you take a look at his WAR at the end of 6 years, along Bryce Harper played in Washington, I'm going to suggest they're not going to be that far off. I think Victor Robles has gotten that kind of impact. Vlad Guerrero Jr. is not his father. At least I don't want to pin that on him. Vlad Guerrero is, you know, Hall of Famer, but Vlad Guerrero Jr. is a great player. At 19 years old, just dominated every level he was in, along with Bo Bichette, who is a little bit further down. And Vlad Guerrero could be up this year. I don't think he will be. I think he's probably more of a 2019 guy. Gleyber Torres, from a fantasy standpoint, not nearly the kind of impact that Ronald Acuna, Victor Robles will have, but Gleyber Torres can play. A solid player all around. I think he's a natural shortstop, but he's probably not going to push Didi Gregorius out, so he's probably going to be second base. Again, there's power and speed, 20-20 potential. If he does 15-15 this year, playing full-time, I think you should take that and run. I think there's a chance for high batting average, high on-base percentage as well. Finishing up the top 10, we've already talked about Otani. You got Eloy Jimenez, Fernando Tatis Jr., Walker Buehler, Brendan Rodgers, and Nick Senzel. Jimenez is just massive power. I think he might beat what everybody thought Jorge Soler was going to be. Just massive power, not a whole lot of speed. He is going to strike out a little bit, but he could be 40 home runs in a, you know, a 250, 260 batting average kind of guy. Fernando Tatis, you know, Tatis was traded. I can't remember who he was traded for a couple of years ago to the Padres. I should have looked that up. You have to watch these guys that are traded, and who particularly like short season guys, or, you know, or particularly these Latin players, like who are these people? And like Solek, I know not a Latin player. Solek can really hit. He was a guy that was just moved to Tampa, and Tampa wanted him. He was part of that three-way trade that he, you know, first was traded from the Yankees over to Arizona, then Arizona flipped him to Tampa, you know, and told the Yankees, hey, we're going to flip them back to somebody in your own division. You good with that? And the Yankees said, sure. He can really, really hit. This is a guy that might be a decent major league player. So these are, Tatis is one of those guys that everybody went, who's he and why is he being moved and why do the Padres covet him so much? Well, they do because the kid can play. Could he be at the top of this list mid-season? Could he be at the top of this list after Victor Robles and Ronald Acuna and Gleyber Torres graduate? Absolutely. Power, some speed, chance to be a very, very good player, and something that a player that, you know, I know everybody's saying that the Padres are going to kind of center their whole team around Eric Hosmer. It's probably going to be Fernando Tatis Jr. This guy has a chance to be that good. Walker Buehler, in my opinion, is the best pitcher in the minor leagues. And, you know, I say that with Ohtani, who was never really in the minor leagues. The only thing that bothers me, Tommy John surgery on the resume, that's always a concern. That's not what I, 6 foot tall, maybe 6 foot one. And, you know, I just do not like short pitchers. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's, you know, I like guys who have playing. He doesn't get it, but he does keep the ball down, has a really good two seamer, which will, you know, has a tendency to get ground balls. But in this era where people are lifting the bats, you know, doing the more up and down swing and just yoking the ball and getting leverage, fly ball pitchers have a tendency to give up a lot of home runs. The good news is Walker Buehler throws really hard, and it's hard when you're pitching up in the zone because it's funny. I read somebody or heard some discussion. Well, pitchers just need – no, because this all started with Mike Trout. I know I'm a little over the pace, all over the place. So Mike Trout comes to the major leagues and just blows up. And people look at his swing. Mike Trout's a low ball hitter. So, I mean, just sits down in the zone. And he just doesn't miss. I mean, let's face it. If it's in the bottom third of the zone, he's going to ride it. He's got the strength and the bat speed and just the great hand-eye coordination to drive a ball out of any park. So a lot of players looked at that and go, wow, I mean, look at the leverage he's getting, and, you know, he's really not losing a lot of batting average. And it was that kind of swing in others that people said, well, let's start this leveraging. And then the analytics started to play, the brainiacs got involved and said, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of physics to this. And any ball that's going down, if you get more leverage, you get get the ball in the air. If you're strong, and everybody is so much stronger and more fit than they used to be, and that's what's kind of led to this whole different way of hitting. So one school of thought is, well, okay, we'll just pitch up in the zone. You pitch up in the zone, if everybody's looking low, you have a tendency to strike out guys. The problem is, if you're Walker Buehler and you pitch 90, have a fastball, you can run up to 96 to 98. That's fine. If you are Joe Musgrove and you throw 93 miles an hour, you're going to get hit hard. So that's the problem. You've got to have high velocity to be able to pitch up in the zone. And we saw this with Tim Lincecum, who's trying to make a comeback with the Rangers, I believe. That might not end well, everybody. Tim Lincecum used to pitch up in the zone and could just throw the ball by people. But once his fastball was sitting 92, 93, he was dead meat. And he's having to retool his entire game. So you got to pitch almost 94 to 96 to be able to pitch up in the zone. So that's not really a resolution to kind of this up and down swing and people really swinging like Mike Trout. Mike Trout's improved his plate coverage. He can now, you know, deal with anything high and inside and be able to at least foul those balls off so he gets something that he can hit. Other batters can't do that, and that's why the strikeouts are so high. But pitchers who can't pitch with high velocity up in the zone, I mean, it's a problem. So Walker Buehler, I think, has that, so that does negate some of his concern about lack of playing. Plus, he's just got really, really good stuff, knows how to sequence his pitches, and this is, I think, going to have an impact this year. I have a number of dynasty leagues. I'm very excited about that, and I think we'll see him a lot this year. Brandon Rodgers, I saw him in the in high A last year at a couple of just regular games. I saw him at the All-Star game, and I think I'm overranked here. He never walks. And part of the reason he never walks, the on-base percentage of like 420 because he never got out. I mean, he just hit everything in high A. And we got the double A. Things got a little bit more difficult. I need to see him show a little bit of plate discipline. If he doesn't, particularly from a fantasy standpoint, he doesn't have any speed. I think he's got tremendous power, so he could be kind of a Corey Seager type player. I always kind of looked at him as a Troy Tulowitzki, which, you know, Corey Seager, Troy Tulowitzki, kind of in that same genre of big shortstops that have tremendous power, good batting average. But unless Brendan Rodgers starts walking a little bit, I do worry about that hit tool. So he could be a 25 to 30 home run bat batting 260 as opposed to what Corey Seager has been able to do. Actually, I don't know what Corey Seager did this past season or what Troy Tulowitzki did, and that's more of a 300 guy. It's a different player than a 260, 25 bat kind of guy. And then Nick Senzel. I think Nick Senzel has a chance to be a very, very good player. Is he a perennial all-star? Probably not. Is he an Alex Bregman type of player? Some speed, some pop? Yeah. He can play a really good third base as well. I think it's a good get by the Cincinnati Reds. Some of my favorite prospects are in this next 10. I love Mitch Keller. I wish he wasn't a Pirate because yeah, who knows when he'll be up. But Mitch Keller can really pitch. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League again. Saw him again in the Arizona Fall League, that's the way I should say it. I've seen him pitch in multiple levels. Just a really smooth, silky pitcher who's been working on his changeup. And I saw him throw some very good changeups. That's the last piece to the puzzle for him. So I could definitely see him. I know the Pirates will start him off in AAA, but he really does need to work on that changeup once that's developed. I think he has a chance to be a solid number two pitcher, maybe even a little bit more than that. Lewis Brinson, hey, finally gets his chance. I hope he takes advantage of it. I hope he's not Keon Broxton. He could be. He could be. Michael Kopech, everybody knows, guy hits 100 miles an hour. I traded him straight up for the overall first pick in one of my dynasty leagues, and everybody said I got a great deal because I got Ohtani. I bet you in 3 years, 5 years, Kopech's the better pitcher. I think Ohtani would be the better pitcher this year, maybe next year, but I think long-term, Kopech has a chance to be a special guy. I mean, at that level of velocity, assuming he doesn't blow out his elbow, which, you know, let's call it, it's going to be, you never like to say it, but there's a possibility that happens. He has a chance to be very, very good. Luis Robert, we'll talk about him in the next segment. Kyle Tucker, don't like the swing, but Kyle Tucker has a chance to be kind of a 30 home run bat, not like the Astros need any other big time players here, but has a chance to be a big time power bat, a little bit of speed, maybe 5 to 8 stolen bases. I do worry about that batting average, and he's always been able to hit in every level, but something tells me with a hitch in his swing that I saw that with Gregory Polanco. Gregory Polanco had no problem all through the minor leagues. And actually the first half season is in the major leagues. And then pitchers found the hole and he hasn't been able to adjust. And that can happen with players. And I think that could happen with Kyle Tucker. Austin Meadows, I'm still a fan of Austin Meadows. I know he's down on a lot of lists. I know he's down with a lot of fantasy players. I think Austin Meadows has a chance to be quite good. Forrest Whitley, real shame, the suspension, good stuff, good makeup kid. It's just a real unfortunate situation. Franklin Barreto comes in at 24. I think he'll get significant playing time this year. If you're looking for a rookie to draft this year, people don't give Franklin Barreto a lot of props. I do. I think he has a chance to be a fairly impactful player. Good speed, a little bit of pop. I think he can hit too. Moving further down the line here, again, another potential impact player this year is J.P. Crawford. Terrible first three quarters of the year last year. I saw him when I saw Rhys Hoskins play the early in the year in a triple A game. I drove out to Scranton, which is a beautiful ballpark, by the way. It's out in the middle of nowhere. But out in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and that was the Yankee Park, and the Lehigh Valley AAA Philadelphia team was there, and J.B. Crawford looked terrible. He was late on everything. I didn't get a chance to see batting practice, but he was late in game on everything. And I'm talking to scouts, and people are like, who is this guy? Like, it was like he forgot how to swing. His timing was all wrong. Sometime after the All-Star break, he started to put it back together. The thing that I find interesting about Crawford is I think he can really hit. I don't know how friendly the fantasy tools are. And I say in this comment, he might be Dansby Swanson 2.0 with a little bit more pop. That could be who J.P. Crawford is, a really good baseball player. How good he is as a fantasy player, I don't know. Then again, I said the same thing about Francisco Lindor, and Lindor hit 30 home runs and I think stole how many bases this year? Is the last year? I don't think Crawford has that kind of pop. I don't think Crawford has that kind of foot speed. But, Dansby Swanson will be just fine. He is not the guy he was last year. I think the kid's going to hit with 15 home runs and 15 stolen bases. No, that's a pretty good pull. That's a pretty good baseball player. It's a middle infielder. It's not a, it's not a top 15 shortstop, and maybe Crawford doesn't have that, but I think he has a chance to be pretty good. Scott Kingery comes in number 31, another guy that I think we'll see this year, and I think it'll be Crawford and Kingery. I bet you they bring them up very close together and to say, look, you guys are our go-forward middle infield, learn to play together. So if you're thinking about drafting both of those guys, I think Kingery actually had the more fantasy-friendly tools, even though I've got Crawford three spots ahead of that. I do think that J.P. Crawford would be a better hitter, but Kingery's going to have some nice pop and some good speed. And at the second base position, it's a little shallow in fantasy. So in baseball, shortstops are worth more than a second baseman. But from a fantasy standpoint, if you haven't done your drafts yet, it gets really, really shallow in a hurry. Ryan McMahon, we've talked about Ryan McMahon a lot. I made the bold statement where somebody said, who is this year's Cody Bellinger? I said this about 6 weeks ago. And, I could have said Otani, some guy that's, Ronald Acuna, the guys that are just going to blow up. And I think we all thought Bellinger had a chance to be really good. Nobody thought he'd be that good. At least I didn't. I think Ryan McMahon has a chance to have that kind of power, plays in Coors Field. I think the kid can hit. Plus, the makeup is off the chart. So this is a guy that if they give him the opportunity, which it sounds like they will, they could, they could sign Mark Reynolds as a insurance policy. But it sounds like the Colorado Rockies are going to give him the chance at first base. You would think for at least the first month to 6 weeks, as long as he can hold his own, I think he'll get better as the year goes out. And to me, if he gets that chance, I think you're looking at potentially the rookie of the year. If, be between him and Ronald Acuna. I mean, if Ronald Acuna gets 500 at bats and does what we all think he's going to do, there's your NL rookie of the year. But don't be surprised. Ryan McMahon has a chance to be very, very good. So that's why I put him as kind of that Cody Bellinger guy, maybe a little bit more under the radar than Acuna in the National League. And you're thinking, Gleyber Torres I don't think Victor Robles, unless there's multiple injuries in Washington, I don't see how in the heck he gets a chance to play. He's probably a 2019 guy. So all of you guys thinking about drafting this year, I think he's a 2019 guy. Let me just go down a little bit further. I'm talking about a lot of guys coming out this year, which is kind of interesting to do that. Jordan Alvarez, number 54, another Astros Cuban guy they signed. I've seen him. This guy's got big-time power, can really hit. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. Didn't look great. His bat looked a little slow. I did see him earlier in the year, and he looked better. So I'm just assuming he was a little tired. Nice potential player. The Astros seems like they got three players at every position. So he might be a guy that they eventually trade. But I know they're really happy with Jordan Alvarez, and they're happy that they signed a Cuban player. So for political reasons, I put that, not the political reasons, but baseball political reasons, to show the Latin community, that their players, they might hold on to him just to show that they can develop these guys coming out of Cuba. They can develop these guys coming out of Latin America. If you don't think that's a thing, it definitely is. And, you know, back in the day, if 7-8 years ago, the Astros weren't even, they didn't even have a presence in Latin America. So they've been trying to put a foothold there and show that they can develop these guys coming, you know, from the Dominican and so forth. So part of, you know, why teams will hold on to a player like this is to be able to help in further recruiting these players. So all of a sudden the next Cuban star comes out and they try to, if you recall, they tried to sign Jose Abreu when he came out. They made it to the finals, and Jose Abreu said, nah, you guys don't have much of a team. And, of course, Astros went on to win the World Series, and the White Sox, rebuilding. So, but they're trying to make that, you know, that give, you know, let that Latin American community, Cuba community know that they're players. So don't be surprised if he sticks around and gets some considerable playing time here in the near future. Tyler Trammell, number 57, this kid's tooled up. He can hit. I had him on every one of my dynasty leagues. I think I've traded him away twice. And in both those leagues, I think I won the league. So he had that much value because people that we play in our leagues really know their minor leaguers and know the kind of potential he has. And I think he has a chance to be a top 25 prospect, maybe by midseason, definitely by next year. This kid has tooled up really, really fantasy friendly tools. Miguel Andujar at 59, man, I tell you that that signing of Drury, I think that rules out Andujar, and it felt like, I think I said this last week at the last Sunday show, I think this sets up Andujar to be traded. I don't know any other, I have no other reason. I mean, it's like, you know, they're going to bring in Manny Machado next year. Right? You know, that's what they're going to do. If they strike out on him, they'll probably pick up Mike Moustakas because Mike Moustakas is only going to be on a pillow contract this year. So I think Andujar is gone, and I think his kid's really good. There's just no spot for him. But maybe again, the Yankees maybe don't think he's that good, and that's why they brought in Drury. I think he could hit circles around Drury, but that's just my opinion. Justice Sheffield, another guy, another Yankee at 61, smallish pitcher. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League. Boy, stuff had taken a tick up from when I saw him the year before last. I didn't get a chance to see him in season in 2017. I saw him in 2016. But, man, that guy looked sharp when I saw him and, you know, throwing 95, 96 and really locating. Well, again, my only concern, again, another smallish type of pitcher. Let's move down here a little bit. Kevin Maton, boy, 69. This was the guy everybody wanted last year in Dynasty Leagues. Kevin Maton, got to have him. We weren't even sure how to say his name. Was it Mation? It turned out to be Maton. Once we figured out how to say his name, he came into camp out of shape. He was with the Atlanta Braves and just got off to a slow start. And not only did scouts sour on him, but the Braves soured on him very, very quickly. And it's kind of unheard of because they spent a fortune on him. Of course, everybody knows the story there. Atlanta had to give him up because of the shenanigans that went on down there. And by the way, most every team does shenanigans. And speaking of shenanigans, I don't really follow college basketball, but I'm hearing, because now I live in North Carolina, and it's, you know, it's all about North Carolina and Duke and, you know, big rivalry and blah, blah, blah. But apparently there's these allegations that are coming out that everybody's kind of known that college basketball in particular is, you got boosters paying them and so forth. But apparently there's investigations going on. This thing is just rampant. And now some of the elite basketball programs that everybody thought were clean for years, and I could be wrong on this, but at least on the couple articles I read, that North Carolina and Duke have been participating in some of these things as well. And, you know, it just shows you that when competition is there and big money is there, the March Madness generates billions of dollars. It's by far the biggest take of any amateur sport or college sport that's out there. And when there's big money involved, people do shenanigans. And in baseball, they do shenanigans, particularly around Latin players and all the stuff that goes down there. I encourage everybody to watch the movie Pelotaris. It is a wonderful documentary following the Miguel Sano and another player whose name escapes me, all of the stuff that's going on down there. And it is an amazing documentary to see the corruption that is down in Latin America. And teams are trying to work through that, trying to work the system. And, you know, and the Braves got caught and they had to give up Maton, and the Angels basically signed him for a lot less money, by the way. But he, you know, Maton, to at least Major League Baseball's credit, he got to keep all the money. So good for him. So hopefully, you know, maybe Mike Trout can be of an influence there and kick him into gear, because the talent is there. But I think scouts and the Braves were down on the work ethic and the fact that he came in late and didn't work hard. Because that was all the reports that I heard, and not just reports in the paper. I mean, I talk literally to people every week, and when I asked about him, it was that. But I kept him on this list just because, I mean, the talent is there. I mean, there's just no question the talent is there. Let's go down a little bit further. Chance Adams. I don't know why I have him on this list. I'm not a Chance Adams fan. I think he is a number four starter. I should have left him off the list, but I know everybody likes him. I've seen him pitch average stuff. He can pitch pretty good control, but I worry for him when he gets promoted. And I worry for him, particularly in Yankee Stadium. Down a little bit further, we've got Tyler Mahle at 94. I bet you he's going to be a pretty good major league starter. He's great control, a little bit better stuff than you think. I kind of equated him to Joe Musgrove a couple of years ago, and I know Joe Musgrove hasn't worked out very well. I think he is in that kind of same thing. Dan Straley, Joe Musgrove, Tyler Mahle. Tyler Mahle might have a little bit better control than either one of those guys. But I think Straley showed that he is a number three pitcher, and I think Mahle has a chance to be that as well. Michael Baez at 99. I think looking at all the other sites, I might be low man on him. I thought I was high man on him, but I didn't think everybody kind of knew who he was, but it's a guy who has a chance to be very, very good. Big kid, explosive power arm, you know, but he's a big, tall kid like Tyler Glasnow, and on and on and on it goes. And yeah, Tyler Glasnow, I still maintain, will be good. I was in a Twitter conversation with somebody, and he made a statement, you know, well, he's a middle reliever. Well, yeah, he might be, but I have hopes that Tyler Glasnow would be more than that. But Michael Baez, just because of the sight, and it's so hard to get the coordination with those big, tall pitchers. But once it happens, you have a chance to be Dylan Betances. I know Dylan, he couldn't find the broadside of the barn for a stretch last year, but take a look at his overall stats. I mean, it's just downright gaudy. I mean, this guy, when he is on, is, we all know, Randy Johnson, you know, but once these tall guys get it together, they can be very, very good. Jorge Alfaro makes number 100. Look, I like Alfaro a lot, but let's see him do it. Okay, let's take a quick break. Let me get a quick drink of water, and wow, I think I've gone 45 minutes. Whoo, boy. Usually I do a ton of preparation for shows I do with Tim, because I want it to be very sharp. And, you know, sometimes I have to do research and so forth to kind of come up with the topics. But I spend hundreds of hours a year working on these prospects. And I literally, I don't say I know this stuff like the back of my hand, but I feel like I just know these guys because I've seen so many of them play. I've talked to so many many times about them. So I'm literally going off by simply staring at their names and going through this. So hopefully you're finding this interesting and valuable, and you're getting some information. But let's go to these Dynasty League rookie drafts. By the way, I hope everybody's liking the new branding. I think it's awesome. Jory Divick just did an amazing job and literally did it. I'm sure it took him a long time, but he was pumping things out like there was no tomorrow. I mean, it's like, hey, can you do this? And like, I'd get 15 minutes later, I'd get a ton of stuff. He's just amazing. When you're talented like that and know how to use software, it is a incredible combination. I feel like I've got creativity. I haven't an ounce of artistic ability. I can't see shadows. Like, I just can't see it. And everybody says anybody can paint, anybody can draw. Be that exception. I just can't see it. And when I start to use the software, and I'm a software developer, when I start to use like that, the software that I don't even understand it, the layering and things like that. So I don't have any skill to do that. So I'm so appreciative of Jory doing this for us. And I'm so appreciative of guys who have that skill and talent. It just amazes me that they're able to do that. But we thank him for that. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. So let's go through these rankings. Look, I got Shohei Ohtani number one in our rookie redrafts, and he went number one in all five of our drafts. And you have to almost take him if you've got the number one pick. But I am suggesting, and this happened in some of our leagues, if you are in a rebuild, in a long rebuild, trade it. Get somebody, get a couple of players, get somebody you think that will be better than Ohtani is 3-5 years down the road. I mean, you know, if you believe that Michael Kopech's going to be a better pitcher in 4 years, make that trade and give it to somebody who can use Ohtani over the next couple of years. That's how you have a chance to really maneuver in dynasty leagues. And I traded, I think it was Carlos Correa in one of our dynasty leagues for the number one pick in another player. And I can't remember. I have to go through and look for that. But that was 2 years ago. I came in last place 2 years ago. I won that league this past year. And a lot of it was based on, you know, just, you know, trading a really good player. And, you know, who's a center of no, I think I traded the number one pick for Carlos Correa. I think that's what it was. I'm sorry. I had it reversed. And that's how you win leagues. You know, if you don't think there's a Bryce Harper, a Chris Bryant, somebody at the number one slot, then trade it and give it to somebody who needs Ohtani to win this year or to win in 2019, and try to get somebody that's going to help you 3 years down the road when you think you're going to win. I think that Luis Robert looks like a guy that's all tooled up. He is Yoan Moncada Jr. You know, I don't even think light. I mean, this is a very, very similar tooled up athletic player that I think of all of these people on this list has the highest star potential. He also has probably the highest burnout potential as well, because we still don't know if Yoan Moncada is going to be good. But in these Dynasty League guys, I'm going to rank Luis Robert high next year in a couple of years. He could be a top five prospect. Then you've got not only somebody who can help your major league squad in a couple of years, but he becomes huge trade bait down the road. So you might sit there in 2019, you pick Luis Robert number one here, and all of a sudden Luis Robert turns out to be a top five prospect going into next year, or maybe midseason 2019, and then you really don't believe in him. And then you move him for two, three other players that can either help you now or that you feel like would be better. So you can use guys that get pumped up in these lists because of their tools. They can really play in the lower minor leagues. And when we get to the higher minors, they get exposed like Yoan Moncada did, or at the major league level. I mean, that's the way you like to play this dynasty league game. And that's how it works. Royce Lewis is number three. I thought Hunter Green was the logical number one pick. I said that on draft night last year, and I got pushback from a lot of people who said, yeah, Hunter Green's a great talent, but Royce Lewis is really good. He's, to me, is the number three guy on this list. And that's how it turned out, you know, in the drafts that we're doing. Royce Lewis came out almost the same as Luis Robert, who's three. Royce Lewis came in at 3.5. 3, I believe. So the 3.25. Hunter Green, tremendous arm, 100 miles an hour. Again, what's the likelihood? If I haven't done the research, but guys who throw 100 miles an hour in high school usually doesn't end well for them from a Tommy John standpoint. But he's very young, an incredible character guy. Go watch some of the things about his relationship with his brother. And, you know, it's a pretty touching, moving story. And he just seems like the real deal, coming from a really good family. Does that translate to him being a great baseball player? No. But when you combine that with the talent he has, the work ethic that he has, that's the extra stuff that could make Hunter Green really special. Mackenzie Gore, lefty from San Diego. I know a lot of people that like Mackenzie Gore more than Hunter Green. I wasn't one of those. It's a very athletic pitcher. It's kind of got that funky, stiff leg delivery, almost old-fashioned delivery. I don't know if the San Diego will try to loosen him up a little bit, but very athletic, good strong arm, obviously throws from the left side. Very young. I think he's a number of years away, but you know, a guy that also he went overall with a 4.75 ADP. We'll go with that in our dynasty leagues. Kyle Wright was after that. I think Kyle Wright, people are underestimating this guy. I think he's a solid number three starter, maybe a low number two starter. So let's call him a top 35 to 40 pitcher in the major leagues. I think that's a ceiling, but he's not going to be that long in the minor leagues. I think you could see him second half of 2019. I think he's going to be a really good pitcher. He went, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He went 10th with an ADP of 9.25. So people didn't like him as much as, I did, and you know, that's okay. Everybody can be wrong. Let me just do a quick little calculation here so I can just put the number next to these guys so I can see it a little bit better. Brendan McKay, number 7. I think this guy might have a better chance of being the two-way player than everybody thinks Otani's going to have. You know, he was a college bat. And a really good pitcher, too, a nice lefty pitcher. And he plays for the Rays, though. I mean, can you imagine being a player in the Rays system, and particularly a pitcher, and you're seeing how they strung out Honeywell, how long it took him to get there, and all of a sudden he gets there and he blows out his elbow, and you know, and you say, well, you know, he's still young, but in almost every other system, Honeywell would have been in the major leagues and earning major league credit for the next year and a half while he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. As a minor league player, he's not going to get that service time. So, you know, think about from the baseball player. You have a lot of, if you think you're going to have Tommy John surgery, as long as you get up to the major leagues, at least you're earning service time and a chance to get the arbitration faster, a chance to get the free agency faster. But anyway, Brendan McKay, you know, who knows how long it's going to take him to move, but a lot of people liked him. He was actually 6. Something's not right here. 1, 2, 3. Looking at my calculation. I don't know. I did something wrong here. Let me do this over again. Maybe my Excel skills have my Excel skills are – oh, I see what's the problem. Anyway, so Brendan McKay was 6. Then after that with Kyson Hure, everybody liked him in our drafts. He was actually after Mackenzie Gore. So he went 5th in our dynasty league drafts, with an ADP of 5. So he went as high as, 3 in 2 drafts. So people in our leagues love this guy, and the good reason, kid can hit. It looks like his elbow troubles are behind him. Not sure where he's going to play. A lot of people believe it'll be second base. You know, a guy that, you know, if you're looking at like an Alex Bregman type guy, doesn't have that kind of speed, but can really hit, and with a little bit of pop, he might be the guy for you. I had Joe Adell, a shortstop with the Angels after that. Loved the fantasy tools that are there. He came in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He came in 8th. Actually, Hunter Green was was seventh in ADP. So people weren't as high on Hunter Green in our leagues as I was. Joe Adell, though, came in at seventh, and I have him at number nine. Maybe Bukakis, I can't, I'm exactly sure I pronounced his name. I apologize. People did not like him in our drafts. He went way down, almost in the 20 range. So people, ADP of 23.75, number 21st player off the board. People did not buy into the 6 foot right-handed. Look, you know, everybody knows I like the Houston Astros. I do have a lot of people that I know that work in that organization. Those guys are really smart. You know, I know people roll their eyes. Here goes Wilson again. No, these guys are really smart, and they're doing stuff. A big part of my job, besides playing, doing the baseball stuff, my real job, I spend a lot of time with analytics and creating solutions with a lot of machine learning and a lot of big data kind of stuff. And I don't want to get in, that's boring. But a lot of the models that we build, I mean, the Astros do a lot of that very similar stuff, and I know how accurate the stuff can be. And their scouting is really good. Their player development guys are really good. It's just a smart organization. And the fact that they drafted him and they were that high on him, you know, that tells me something. This is not the Baltimore Orioles picking somebody, or this is some of the smarter people in baseball taking a player. And sometimes when they do that, you have to sit up like and go, well, wait a minute, why? That's why I have about 10, even though he went a little later. So I'm a big fan, and I've never seen him pitch. I've only heard scouting reports of him. I've talked to people in the Astros organization who love this kid, obviously. So that's why I pumped him up a little bit. That was the only reason. Pavin Smith, plus hit tool, plus power, comes in next. People did like Pavin Smith in the Dynasty League drafts. I believe he went Pavin Smith went 17th. I had him ranked 11th. So he did a little bit after that. People, Alex Fado from Detroit hasn't pitched yet in the big leagues. He went 16th. I think my numbers are off. 16th. He went 14th. And in our Dynasty League drafts, are very close to where I have him ranked. Heliot Ramos, terrific debut in the AZL, but I think that might be his high watermark. I don't see him being a 1,000 ops guy, but people liked him. He went fairly high in our drafts. Nick Prado was next. He's a long way off. I mean, he's with Kansas City. Kansas City is going to be really bad over the next couple of years. Can they spin magic again where they drafted Hosmer number one overall? And he was, you know, the center piece of their championship team. Can Nick Prado be that? Probably not. But I think the kid can hit. But I got him at 2021 to 2022. So he's a ways off. Brent Rooker is 23 years old, but it's already played in the FSL. Somebody took him number 15th overall in our Dynasty League in one draft, and a guy who's a really, really good player took him. So his ranking of ADP of 28.67 in our Dynasty League doesn't do him justice. I think Rooker has a chance to be good, and I think be here quickly. Power can hit. There's something there to like. Let me finish up. Nate Pearson, you don't like pitchers that go to Toronto. I've heard nothing but really good stuff about Nate Pearson. And you know, go read my article that I wrote about the Toronto Blue Jays. A lot there to like. Adam Haseley was taken eighth overall, but I am at 17th, and he did not fare well. He was kind of in the 20s in our Dynasty League take. So people aren't high on Haseley as much as the Philadelphia Phillies were. And again, Philadelphia Phillies kind of swung and missed with Mickey Moniak in 2016. That's just ugly. It's just, I saw him play. He looked terrible. Absolutely terrible. Is Haseley the same kind of player? You know, I just don't know how much, but is it going to be a 10-10 kind of guy? I don't know. Jake Berger, White Sox, big power guy. He can hit. There's a lot to like there. Evan White, people love Evan White's hit tool. He's got plus power now. He's got plus raw power. Will it translate in Seattle? I don't think anybody knows. Jaron Kendall with the Dodgers, another organization I love to watch. Really smart guys. Really know what they're doing out there. A lot of people did not like that draft pick, of Jaron Kendall. That's why I have him down at 21. Logan Warmuth is Toronto was their second pick in the first round. This kid could be really good. It's got a really simple swing. There's some power there. I've got him at 22. If you're picking early in the second round, I wouldn't consider doing that. Shane Baz, I got him down to 23, Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh Pirates, it's going to take a long time. Look at Mitch Keller. Look at Tyler Glasso. I guess Garrett Cole went pretty quickly because he was a college pitcher. I've got him at 4 or 5 years, and it's going to take a while. Bubba Thompson, I kind of said he could be Anthony Alford or the other Bubba. Both played football. Bubba Starling never really made it, and Anthony Alford, I think, has a chance to be really, really special. Who is Bubba Thompson going to be? I hope he's Anthony Alford, but he could be the other Bubba. So just be careful. Kristen Lutz, huge, huge double plus power, lots of swing and miss in the swing. Now we get to some fun guys. Wander Franco, he was the big international signing with the Rays. Spent $4 million. He's got the big time speed. He can hit. But if I'm doing this podcast, what is it, 2018, and 6 years from now, it's 2024, and Wander Franco hasn't made it into the major leagues, that would not surprise me. So think about 2024. I'll probably have grandchildren in 2024. that's how long – far away that is. But that's how, is your dynasty league still going to be around in 2024? I think it's a legitimate question to ask. That's how long the development cycle could be for him. Seth Romero, I'm going to direct you guys to the internet because we're running out of time here. Go check him out. Lots of great arm, lots of issues in college, got kicked off of his team. Go out and read about him. Blaine Enloe, he got drafted in every one of my leagues, probably because I talked about him here. I said simply, take him late and thank me later. Really good arm. There's a lot of people that are very high on him in the draft. I went in the second round, which is why they're pretty high on him. But nobody is talking about him, and I think that's a mistake. Minnesota not only has got a pretty good major league team, they got some decent players in the minor leagues, and Akil Badu is a guy that I tried to take on every one of my dynasty league. I got him in 4 out of 5, and somebody sniped me. I thought he would fall to the third round. Somebody sniped me in the second round in one of my leagues. That's a cat that's going to be really good, and I wanted to rank him. He just fell off, but next year I could see him as a top 100 prospect. So Akil Badu. So he's actually he was drafted, I think, in the second round a couple of years ago. Austin Beck, he was taken 6th overall by Oakland. He's got the great bat speed, but I don't know how good of a hit tool he's actually going to have. There's a couple guys down here at the end. Everson Prairie is a Yankee kid that he was a Latin sign that. This is a guy with great tools, great bat speed, a great foot speed, and the Yankees are extremely high on this kid, and there's a lot of people in the industry that is as well, and that's why I put him on here. So there's definitely something there. Give him a couple of years, and you could be looking at a top 100 prospect. And again, dynasty leagues, I got Pereira in, I think, 4 out of my 5 leagues. I got him in the 5th or 6th round. If he becomes a top 100 prospect in 2 years, done. I did my job. Then I'd go and try to trade him unless he's going to be the next Ronald Acuna. That's what you try to do with these guys. And the final guy is Eric Pardinho. He's a 16. I think he just turned 17 years old. If there's one guy, when I talked to, and I probably talked, he texted and emailed and talked real time to probably about 30 people over the course of the winter time, just talking about players. I bet you 15 people mentioned his name. Is there anybody under the radar that nobody's talking about? His name kept coming up. And I did some research. The kid's 5'9". It's 5'9" and from Brazil. But everybody said the kid throws strikes. He never walks anybody. He's got really good stuff. They almost dismissed the fact that he was 5'9". I'm going, it's 5'9". I mean, how many pitchers have made it as a 5'9" pitcher? And he's right-handed. I mean, like, but look, I heard really good stuff about this guy. I've never seen him. I don't think he's even pitched in the minor leagues yet. So he's a wild card I threw out. I did draft him in a couple of leagues, my dynasty leagues. We'll see where it goes. I got him in the 9th, 10th round. I just wanted to throw him out there as a guy to watch, a name to remember. So just a player to watch. Again, this list, you can go out. Hopefully you'll use this when you're drafting in dynasty leagues. If you're not playing in dynasty leagues and you're still with me after, I think we've been on for over an hour here. I did all this myself. Good Lord. If you're not playing in dynasty, try to get in one. We'll probably start up others here in the coming years. I know they're so hard to get in with our show. We get hundreds of applications for them. Definitely, I think, the best format around. It is so much fun to draft these guys and watch them develop over 3 or 4 years. It's such a thrill to draft a Ronald Acuna when nobody's heard of this guy, and all of a sudden you're sitting with the best prospect in the land 18 months later. It's a really cool feeling, and you feel like you accomplished something. Not like you read a gazillion magazines and everybody has, a redraft league, and you're pretty much going, round by round by round, and maybe take this guy 2 rounds early and so forth. But striking gold on some of these guys, to me, it's a thrill. It's even a thrill for me. I mean, I write about them, but I'm not that great of a fantasy player because I don't know if I have the mental metal to actually draft correctly and stuff like that. I usually overthink stuff because I'm more of a geek and an analyst as opposed to just, yes, take this guy. I argue my way out of stuff so many times. But when you get it, when you get a player right, it's a good feel. Like Jose Altuve was one of my guys, and I had him before everybody else did. And it's such a thrill to kind of watch these guys through the minor leagues and then become really good Major League Baseball players. I mean, you get this attachment to them. It's a cool thing. And you probably hear the words and go, not interested. Trust me, if you played in those kind of formats, you'd love it. It's just a great, great thing. Guys, we appreciate all the support you give us. We're every Sunday night. Mostly, I think we're going to be here this coming Saturday. We talk mostly fantasy baseball with the great Tim McLeod. But every once in a while, we'll do these podcasts of just prospects. That's what I know. That's what I like to talk about. You can go out and follow me at RichWilsonP361. And again, if you want to support our show, go out and rate and review us, or simply go to our website and visit one of our sponsors. They're there on the side, StubHub, MLB Shops, and Steiner Sports. We will see you guys in a few days. Until then, enjoy your week.